This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Now, Lord, I ask that you take this message now in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to a testimony of a woman right here in Times Square Church. I sat with this lady, spoke with her, and she is delighted to give permission to share her testimony. Obviously, we won't share names or circumstances or situations, but I'll give you an idea of what she has been through. I'm going to begin with her testimony, but I'll bring it to I'll end it tonight at the end of the message. This is a woman right here in New York City who makes Times Square Church her home. And she tells us that she was sexually abused and raped by family members repeatedly as a child. My parents seemed not to notice or were unaware. I withdrew into silence and compliance, which my parents never questioned, but rather welcomed, since I was one of 14 children. As I grew up, I entered into other abusive relationships and ended up raising my children alone. If any person should have reason to have resentment in her heart, it's this woman. This woman has got every reason in the natural that she should have this kind of resentment. She should resent her family in the natural, in the flesh. There should be a resentment to those that continuously abused her. Now, I know a whole lot more of her story and her background. And when she got into different relationships and finally into marriage, it was so abusive. It was so physically and sexually abusive that this woman has every right to be able to stand up and look to God and say, God, if there is anybody who grew up disadvantaged, ruined, hurt, bound, it's me. She should. She should have no victory in her life. But beloved, by the time I get to the end of the message, I'm going to come back to her testimony, because you will be amazed what God has done. You will be astounded at the power that God has unleashed in this family circle. I'd love to give you the end of the testimony now. I'm biting my tongue not to give it to you. It's so powerful. It's so awesome. In Numbers chapter 12, we have a situation where Miriam speaks out against her younger brother Moses. Here is a family feud. This is a family squabble. This is a conflict that arises out of a sister, an older sister, an older brother against a younger brother who happens to be Moses. He's the younger brother who is leading the children of Israel. And in verse 1 it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married." Now, most translators are divided whether this is Zipporah, his first wife, that he's talking about from Midian. But it says that she's a Cushite or an Ethiopian, as the English text puts it. Or that Zipporah has died and Moses has married a second wife. And this is the woman that Miriam is upset about. It doesn't matter whether it's Zipporah the first or Zipporah now. It doesn't really concern us, doesn't concern the message any, whether it's a first or second wife at all. The fact is that here is Miriam, who is, in a sense, the Bible calls her a prophetess, and that she's a leader. And she has had a squabble with Moses' wife. And whether it was on a racial text or not, that's not part of the message either. It doesn't matter what caused the squabble. But here is a woman who has resentment in her heart. Here is a person who has developed, she's a leader. And here she has resentment in her heart. It's a squabble. And she has moved into a place where this resentment has now grown in her heart and in her life. It has developed into something larger than life. And we all know that. We all know times and seasons where the enemy would put just a little bit of resentment in the heart. And then it grows to, out of all proportions, into a life of its own. And so we see this, and this is this Miriam who, when Moses was a baby, watched over. She has every right to come and speak into Moses' life. After all, she's the oldest sister who watched over that bassinet as it was pitched with tar and sent into the Nile River and floated downstream. And she was the little girl who watched over this baby Moses in the bulrushes. She has every right. I cared for this man who's now the leader of Israel. I cared for him when he was a baby. I looked after him. I was the one that went to Pharaoh's daughter and said, would you like me to find a nurse for this child? So she has every right as the oldest sister she's got a vested interest in Moses' life. And so she feels, because of this vested interest, that she can come and speak a mind to Moses. But it's coming out of a seed of resentment that has been placed in there, I'm sure, by an enemy. We have Aaron, who's joining her in this family squabble. Aaron is an older brother. And, you know, Aaron, in a real sense, is also a vested interest in Moses. When Moses fled Egypt after he killed an Egyptian, and then he goes into Midian and he flees from Egypt and he's there for 40 years. It's Aaron who's, at this point in time, not understanding or realizing how God is speaking to Moses to send him back into Egypt. But here is Aaron, who has a vested interest in his brother, and he's come out of Egypt and he's looking for him. Just at the exact time that God is speaking to Moses, here comes Aaron. And Aaron is this man who becomes a priest in Israel, and he's got a tremendous responsibility. So here we have these two people who are lined up against Moses, and in verse 1 it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman." So here is this resentment. It's now this wife of Moses. We all understand the difficulties that we get into with family feuds. Don't get quiet on me. You've all had a fight with somebody in your family. Every last one of you have had some kind of gnawing, "Well, I don't like the wife that my son chose." We all understand. We deal with people all the time whose mothers don't like, or parents don't like, or sisters don't like somebody. I've had whole families come in for counseling. "We don't like this person that my son has chosen." We've all know about these little family feuds that begin to put a seed of it. In fact, most of the time we deal with these areas of resentment. It comes out of family complexities. Yes, they spill out into the church and into ministry like it is doing right here. But to the most part, it comes out of relationships that you and I have had with our families that have taken a left turn instead of going on with God. Life isn't always fun, folks. Life isn't always safe. Life isn't always peachy. There's always difficulties that come up. But you don't have to be resentful. God can set you free from all of those resentments. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are required to mend broken hedges. Matthew chapter 5, listen to this. Let me just read it to you. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar." So here we are. Here's a man. Jesus is talking about bringing this gift to the altar. "I want to come and worship God in the house. I'm bringing a gift of praise, and I'm bringing this gift of worship to the Lord, and I'm just so happy to be able to go to the house of the Lord, and I want to give this gift of praise unto His name." And Jesus says, if you bring a gift to the altar, and here you are, you're in the house, And you want to give this gift of your life and this praise and maybe your heart afresh to the Lord, but you remember that your brother has ought against thee, Jesus says. We're not talking about a prophet, we're talking about Jesus. He says, leave your gift before the altar, go your way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I think Jesus is saying it's pretty important to make sure that relationships are in right order, don't you? We have too many people who come to the house of the Lord and raise hands and say, Jesus, I love you. But to their wife or their husband, I hate you. And we get away with it. Because nobody sees the heart and nobody goes home with us and sees how we treat people back home. And these are the things that Jesus is dealing with in the heart. He says, I won't have resentment. Folks, I'm going to show you tonight, God will not deal lightly with these things. Because they will rob you from your effectiveness in the workplace. It'll steal your testimony. It'll rob you from being the most effective kind of individual in this world. And you'll always be coming to an altar crying and don't understand why. But it's because there are things in the heart that God wants to deal with. And one of these things is this resentment. Matthew 18 says, moreover, this is how important it is. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And not on the phone with Sally and Bob and Harry and Mike. Jesus says it's got nothing to do with anybody else. It's got everything to do with you and the person that's offended you. We're so quick to find an army to gather behind us as we go to confront somebody who's affected our lives. Jesus says, you go alone. And tell him his fault. And if he hears thee, you have gained your brother. Now you see, Moses, I think, writes later on. He writes about this. I think it's in his heart about this situation with his own sister. As he witnesses this squabble between brother and sister. And they come and it's an affront. It's gone beyond now. A family affair. And beloved, I want to tell you tonight that whenever you do not reconcile or deal with issues in the home, it's going to spill out into ministry. It's going to spill over to everything you do because that's the nature of the enemy. It's just going to spill out. And so here we have it. It's gone beyond just, I don't like this wife that you've married, but now it's going on. It's an affront to ministry. And Moses, I think, writes about this in a warning in Psalm 90. He says, in verse 8, he says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He says, you're going to come along with your gift to the altar. You're going to come to the house and you're going to want to give God so much praise and worship. This is exactly what Moses wrote about. And I think he's thinking about this very situation. And he talks about a secret sin. But it's revealed in the light of the countenance of God. It's revealed, and this is what Jesus talks about. He says, when you come into the house, you might be raising your hands, but all the time that you're raising your hands, the Holy Spirit is touching this area of resentment in the heart. And he says, I want you to lay down your gift, go make it right, and when you come back, I'll receive your gift. And so here Moses speaks about the secret sin. In the Hebrew, it means hidden, concealed, forgotten, unknown. Martin Luther says it this way. He says it's the unrecognized sin. Sometimes we don't fully recognize. I don't think that Miriam recognized the magnitude of what was going on in her heart. She's allowed a contention to rise up and now she's confronting Moses as the leader of Israel. And so it just gets exacerbated. It just grows. And I think this is what Luther was talking about. It's those unrecognized sins. But the Holy Ghost has a remarkable way of bringing unrecognized situations to become recognized. Amen? Because God wants to deal with our hearts. So, we take a look here and we see in verse 4 that God gets involved. You know, in verse 2, the last sentence in verse 2, well, let me just read verse 2. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath He not spoken also by us?" You see, it's moved from this family squabble. Now it's moved into authority. It's moved into spiritual realms. It's now spilling over into what they perceive how God speaks and doesn't speak. But I tell you something, beloved, it doesn't matter what we say at home. You might be able to smile here at church, but when you go home and you close the door to your house, God hears what you say. He listens to every conversation you're having. It doesn't matter what door you shut. It can only be between you and your spouse, but God is there listening to everything that you're saying. And here we have, it tells us here that, "And the Lord heard it." Oh, that scares me. Because sometimes we think we can get alone and gossip and speak evil things behind a closed door because nobody else can hear it. But it scares me. The Bible says God hears. He hears it. And He hears the conversations that are behind closed doors. And so God hears, and then verse 4, and it says, "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and to Miriam." So God does speak to all three. Miriam is right. God spoke to Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And this is what He says. He says, you can't deal with the situation while you're in the camp of rebellion. You can't deal with it there. He says, I'll deal with it. But if you want to be free from something, if you want to get set free from an issue of the heart, you can't stay in the midst of it. You can't stay in, you know, there's so many things that go on in families, and we see it happen all the time. It's just like this never-ending gossip line that something goes wrong with the family, with an aunt or an uncle or a sister or a brother, and we're so quick to get on the phone and call somebody about it. But God says, if you want to get set free from something, you come out to where I meet with people. And you've got to come out of that situation. And so we see that God calls them out. He says, I want you to come out to this tent of meeting. I want you to come out of this tabernacle. I want you to get alone with me. So God calls them out. Beloved, unless God calls you out of the entanglement, unless He brings... And here we see that God is bringing the offended parties together. And this is so important to understand. He's not bringing everybody that they have maybe spoken to about the situation. No, God is not doing that. He Himself, this is why Jesus can speak these things and say, get along with your brother. Go resolve it between the two of you. Because this is how God does it. And He brings the offending parties together in His presence. And He speaks to them alone, not with everybody else round about. God deals with these issues in His presence alone. God does not stop speaking. And then it goes on a little bit further in verse 5. Now it gets even a little bit more scary. And then He called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And God speaks to these people about the situation that's going on. So now He's taken these two aside. And I think of the grace and the love of God in just coming down to deal with this family issue. Folks, we can believe God like we're talking about tonight with Pastor David was mentioning about tonight about doing these crusades and ministering to people literally in the thousands, and in Rosario, there are going to be literally thousands of people coming together. But you've got to understand, as much as God is going to come down in that place and do a lasting work among those people in Rosario, we believe that with all of our heart. I believe it. I believe that God is going to come down powerfully in Rosario. But I also want you to understand tonight that God comes down in just the same amount of power in your home. And God will meet you exactly where you live. God is interested in dealing with your situation as much as He is anybody else in the entire world. And the presence of Almighty God will come down in your home. He's interested in this family. Here is a squabble that's getting out of hand. And God says, I want to speak. And so He continues to speak. Now, beloved, if you go from verses 6 all the way through to verse 8, you understand that part of the problem here is that when there is something in the heart, you develop your own message. And see, Miriam is developing her own theology. She's got her own message that she thinks God can just speak even though she's got this resentment sitting in her heart. And the Bible is very clear. She is resenting this individual called Moses' wife. There is an issue of heart here. Is it true? And God reveals and He says, as a prophet, I can speak to you in dreams. I can speak to you in visions. That is true. But when there is an issue of the heart, God says, and you think that God can just will come and guide you and lead you and speak to you without dealing with the issue, it becomes a false doctrine. It's way off the mark. And God reveals it to you and He says, and the problem is that you lose the fear of God. It's the loss of the fear of God, because the Lord says here, He says, but with Moses, in verse 8, with him will I speak with my mouth to mouth, and even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, what she wasn't discerning is that Moses is a type of Christ. So it wasn't that she was just speaking against her brother. Beloved, it's not just me speaking against you. I'm speaking against Christ when I speak against you. Because you are His child. And whosoever offends even the least of these offends God. And it's better that a millstone be tied around your neck and cast into the depths of the sea. So, beloved, it's this lack of the fear of God that enters in when you don't deal with an issue. And then you're going to start finding a church that's going to fit your sin. And we've got enough churches today that you could go find a place and be comfortable. You can. There's plenty of places, folks, that won't deal with these issues of heart. And I know I was talking to Pastor William today, and I said to him, you know, I really want to come and speak a rah-rah message. I wanted to speak evangelism tonight. I wanted to preach to the lost. He made me laugh so hard. He says, well, you know, when the doctor is on the, and you're on the operating table, and he is really doing a deep incision into your heart, it'll be very strange if the person there starting to shout. But it's true. God is after something. And He's going after something in the heart. You cannot continue to think. It's a lack of the fear of God. If you think that God will just bless you because we are Americans. It's a lack of the fear of God. God is no respecter of persons, beloved. And He doesn't care what nation, if this nation will not hear Him, He'll raise up another nation. This is the nature of God. And God will speak to a people in these last days. And He will speak. And here you see, Miriam, with not dealing with the issue, has lost, in great respect, the fear of God. Why didn't you fear? This is the man I speak face to face with. This is the man who gets alone with me. And I don't speak in dark sayings to this man. I don't withdraw myself and give him some kind of weird vision that he's going to try to interpret. He says, no. This is a type of Christ. I speak clearly to him. I speak face to face to him. I give him the direction of where I want to go. And he hears it clearly. This is what God is talking about Moses. So where is the fear? Where's the understanding that you can't just think you can go on with life And that God is just going to bless you because of your heritage of being in a great country? No, it's the fear of God that we walk before Him with a sense that God, unless You lead me, unless You guide me, unless You take every step with me, God, I don't even want to go another step forward unless God goes with me. And so He's dealing with the situation. You know, people who are resentful, I just jotted down in my research several things. People who are resentful, who don't allow God to deal with their hearts, are lonely, legalistic, irritable, self-protective, fearful, joyless, spiritually dry, self-righteous. Those are people who refuse to let God deal with areas of their heart. Now, not only does He call them apart, but I tell you, beloved, a fear came into my heart when I read verse 9. If you look at verse 9 in chapter 12, it says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them." And this is the part that scares me more than anything else. "And He departed." I never want to cling to anything so hard in my life, regardless of how hurt I may have been, regardless how somebody has come against me, regardless of what takes place. Beloved, I don't think that there can be anything as worse than God departing from a house. There's no words for it. I think it would be hell. That in a situation of living in a hellish home with an abuser or somebody who is really hurting your life, that's painful. But there are places you can go. There are legal ramifications that you can follow. Romans chapter 13 gives you a clear exposition that you have got places that you can go when there are things in life that are against you. There are certain authorities that you can turn to. And we can resolve some of these issues. But there's something that we can't resolve in our own strength. And it scares me. I never want to be clinging to something so hard. Keep it hidden so deep. That in my heart and life, I cause. Now, I don't believe that God is a scared rabbit and He just leaves us at a moment's notice. I don't believe that. I've heard it preached here many times about that. I believe that so wholeheartedly, that God doesn't just get up and leave because you had a bad thought or you got angry and you said some bad things. I don't believe that God just up and leaves. I think you'll be grieved in your heart. The Holy Spirit will grieve you on those things and cause you to turn around and say sorry immediately to the person that you did that to. I believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But I don't want to get to the place when God speaks to me over and over and over and over and over again. And I choose to cling to something so deep down inside of me more than His presence. I never want to have a scripture written about my life that God left. I think that's hell. I'd rather have 1,000 struggles in this life. I'd rather have 1,000 struggles tomorrow morning with an enemy attacking me from every angle, every place that he can. It doesn't matter. I would rather have that and walk with Jesus Christ hand in hand than to cling to a resentment and cling to an argument or cling to something so strong because I feel justified. Justified in clinging to this thing. And some of you in your heart, you do feel justified. And in a natural and in a very real sense, you are justified. I think of this woman who went through, what do you think of a child who is raped repeatedly by family members? And she's in this house. She's justified in the natural. But I never want to have written over my life, "He departed. I tell you, beloved, I pray. I ask Pastor Carter, I ask Pastor David, I ask these pastors here on the platform, you see anything in my life where I am strained, please come speak to me. Reveal it to me. I've got blinders on as much as you've got blinders on. There are areas of my life I don't always see. I'm not always kind. I'm not always nice. My wife knows that. I try to be. But there's something squirrely sometimes inside of me that just, I'm ugly. And I need somebody to point it out. I'm not too big to say, God, show it to me. I want your presence more than anything in life itself. I love my wife, but I tell you, beloved, I would rather have everything end and I walk with God. I want the love and the presence of Almighty God to walk with me. Every place I tread, I want to know that I'm walking with God. Amen?
Amen.
We'll tell him amen tonight. No clapping, just say amen. Now, I don't know where I am in my notes. Let me talk to you. Forget the notes. Forget the notes. Let me just speak to you on the rest of this chapter. The presence of God departs and she becomes leprous. You see, beloved, it's not only that God, the presence of God lifts, but the end result is leprosy. The end result of this is a contaminated life. It's a mind that has become polluted. And pride can do that. All of these issues and the areas that we touch, and you can't walk out of it out of your own strength. This is why God calls them out. But the end result of not allowing the Holy Spirit to touch some of those things that we hold deep down inside of us is a leprosy. It breaks out. It's consuming. It breaks out in your speech. It breaks out in your mannerisms. Everything that is part dark inside of you that you resist to let God deal with, sooner or later becomes evident. It'll become evident in your speech, the way you speak. These things will be evident in your actions. And you see, beloved, Moses, when he saw Miriam, and she is put out there, there's a time of 7 days, and the Bible says, this is what God says. Look at this in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spitten her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. And there is a time. I thank God for the dry times. There have been times of incredible dryness that I've gone into. And not willingly. But the dry times come. There's a gospel that is preached today that preaches so hard against anything that smacks of a hard time. It's got to be prosperous every single day. The problem with prosperity is that you can buy your way out of thinking that there's anything wrong with you. You can just go out for another hamburger. Go for a spin in a new car. You see, it's wrong. I thank God for the dry times. Every dry time that I have gone into, when this book seems to be a shut book, and I flipped the pages, I said, God, there's got to be a message somewhere in this book. You've got to be speaking. There's got to be something here. God, please give me a message. I've had those dry times. But it's when I put the book down and I just say, God, you've got to just speak to me. Then he begins to minister to my heart in areas that I was unwilling to go in. I have sat listening to messages and God has spoken to my heart, but I haven't done anything about it. And then a dry time comes. And so these seasons are good for us. See, God said, Miriam is going to stay at the camp 7 days. It's a dry time. It's a time of saying, God, I think, beloved, if it was me, if I were Miriam, and I'm outside the camp, and I'm breaking out in leprosy all over, and I've got this time alone, yes, it may be a time of humiliation. Yes. But the word of the Lord is this, I'm going to bring you back in. The word of the Lord is that the moment I've done my work in you, I'm bringing you back in. This is the promise of Almighty God. You might have an area that you don't want to deal with, and you might be struggling with it right now. But the promise of God is this, that even if you're in a dry time when these areas have come into your life, and you are in a dry time, if you let God speak to you, I think that Miriam, in that time alone, now with a single promise that God gives and says that she will be received in again. She's got a single promise. One promise from God. God, I think that she must have stood alone and said, God, deal with me in every area of my life. You see, the quiet times and the lonely times and the times that God separates you. The times of the closet. Folks, you're not going to get it by watching television. You're not going to get the quiet times by filling your life up with so much. If God is speaking to you, there may be a time that He just says, I want you to stand alone. I want to speak into the very depths of your soul. But it's in those times that He's not going to just chastise. That's not our God. Yes, He's going to deal, but He's not going to just live and chastise you. He's going to say to you, He's going to give you a promise. I'm dealing with this area in your life because I want to bring you back in again. I'm not going to leave you alone. And this is one of the greatest messages of this whole portion of Scripture. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. And the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. Folks, I want to tell you today that God is not going to go on ahead without you. He's not going to leave you behind. It's your sin that's causing you to be behind. But God says, if you let me speak to you, if you respond to the gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit in a meeting like this tonight, then this becomes that quiet time that God speaks and ministers to you. For the purpose of, and the promise of God is that the people didn't journey on. They couldn't just get up and move and journey on to some other place. They couldn't just do that. It was God who led them. It was God who began to move by cloud by day and fire by night. And so it's God who's saying, people, we are not moving on. We are going to wait. It's one of the greatest promises in the Old Testament that I know, that God Himself is holding up a whole nation of people. He's holding them. Why? Because I am doing a work in some hearts and I want to have them restored before we move on. It's God who's holding it up. They could have been out of that place. In fact, the Bible tells us that the place Hazeroth in the Hebrew means walled places, enclosed, villages that are hemmed in with stone walls. And this is what takes place. This is where God is speaking to Miriam. Miriam, you walled in. You hedged in. This thing has captivated you. Hazeroth is a place of walled in places. But the mercy, the love of God, the awesomeness of God, He holds up the entire nation. Like a cop, as I told you the one story of me walking across the street with my granddaughter, 1.5 years old, that little duckling. And we walked across right here. I stepped off the sidewalk, holding little duckling's hand. And 8th Avenue can be pretty busy, 80th and 50th, 8th and 50th. Big old trucks and buses and cars and yellow cabs all came to a screeching halt the very second I stepped off of that sidewalk. All the traffic came to a grinding halt. They couldn't pass over that line at all. And they were frustrated with me. Because little duckling only took little steps. Can you imagine crossing 8th and 50th with little steps like this? But I want to tell you, the reason they stopped, I looked over my shoulder because the lights were down. And I looked over my shoulder and there was a New York City cop with a gun in his... His one hand was on the gun and his other hand was up. And he kept that hand up all the time as I crossed with little duckling from one side to the other. Beloved, God just puts his hand up and he says, we're not going forward. I'm not going to leave you behind. I'm not going to leave you behind. In fact, they go, when they do leave and they go to Paran, they go to the area of Paran, it means an ornament of grace. It means beauty. God says, I'm taking you out of walled cities. I'm going to hold up the traffic. I'm taking you out of a walled city, a place of enclosure that's going to kill you. And I'm going to bring you into a place where you will be an ornament of grace. I don't know about you, but I want to be around the neck of Christ as an ornament of grace. I don't want to cling to anything so tight. And I can preach and shout and scream without God in a walled up place. Don't want to be there. Do you want to go to Paran with me? Do you want to leave Hazeroth tonight? Then I'm going to invite you to stand with me all over the house. In the annex, don't even wait for a prayer. Just get up out of your seats and you start making your way to this altar. We're leaving Hazeroth tonight and we're going to Paran. In the balcony, just pick up your stuff. Go right to the sides and you come on down right now to this altar. We're leaving Hazeroth, we're going to Paran tonight, beloved. God is speaking. You don't want Him to lift His hand off of your life. You come down to this altar tonight in Jesus' name. Let me share with you the end of the story with this woman. She had to endure abuse from a son that really got into her face. Her husband was incarcerated a number of years ago. For whatever reason, he was incarcerated. But this woman got saved. She's in the house, and she got saved. This woman has kept herself pure. She could have divorced him. Could have called him a loser and divorced him. He's incarcerated and moved on with her life. But she kept herself pure. She kept herself praying for this man. Not knowing when he's going to get out of his incarceration, she stands as a single mother in this house, and she has prayed, and she has believed God for her husband. Approximately 6 months ago, this abuser, this man, in prison, got born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now he writes to her and he says, we're studying in the book of Daniel. I can't believe how bad and all the pride that I've had in my heart and my life. This is a genuine conversion. God has blessed a woman who said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to keep His presence in my life. No matter what the difficulties are, I'm going to go with God. Has it been easy? No. She's had to raise her family on her own. But thanks God for a wonderful house who has supported her in raising her family. And now just the cherry on the cake, God says, I'm going to save your husband. And the man is saved. We don't know when he's coming out, but when he comes out, he's coming out a preacher, I'm telling you. Amen? Give God thanks tonight. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I don't want to cling to anything that's going to keep you from my life. I yield it as much as I know how tonight to you. And I will go home and begin to make reconciliation as much as I know how with the person who's offended me. Lord, it may be tough, but I'd rather go through it knowing that you yourself will never leave me nor forsake me. And for this, I thank you in Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Father, I thank you tonight that you have spoken into our heart. You gave Miriam a time alone where I know that, God, she was completely healed from her leprosy because she could never come back into the camp of Israel if there was one spot left. 2,000 years ago, you said it was finished. The battle is over. And tonight, we accept what you have for us. Your life, your grace, your strength. And we can proclaim that we are whole in Jesus Christ.
This is the conclusion of the message.